as we look into the Word of God in the Gospel of John, we are going to be in John chapter 12, but before we look into God's Word again, may we pray. Lord, nothing matters more than knowing that we have spent these moments with you. That you have spoken to us. Make us sensitive, we pray. We welcome you, Lord. Your way, your will. And where we chafe at that, we admit it. And ask that you lead us into love. In Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I wanted to, excuse me. This morning I'd like to talk about the sweetness of being with Jesus. And you might think that that's something that preachers talk about all the time, but that's not really the case. I'd like to talk about the sweetness of being with Jesus here and now. Sometimes you might hear them talk about the beginning of that relationship. That's always vital. You might hear about maintaining that relationship through spiritual disciplines like Bible study and service and obedience. All of that is good. But we simply don't see much about enjoying Jesus' presence in a real and down-to-earth way. And yet this is the very thing that we were made for, the very thing that he promised when he said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word and my Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home with him. John 14, 23. You and I were meant to be at home with Jesus, not just someday. But here and now, as we live in his presence through his Spirit. But for some reason, we don't hear about this often. We're more like Martha in the church today. We're so busy talking about things we have to do and things we have to be. And yet it was Mary who chose what was better, simply being at Jesus' feet. I'm reminded of what the Oxford Don G.K. Chesterton wrote about these things. The Christian ideal hasn't been tried and found wanting. It's been found difficult and left untried. And that's the truth about being with Jesus. It is difficult, at least at first. It starts that way. Because it requires a change in focus for us. It requires a change in the way that we think. This morning we're going to talk about how good it is to simply be with Jesus. And I'd like to start with this fascinating passage from John in the 12th chapter. Here it is. Now there were some Greeks among them who went up to the worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with requests. Sir, they said, we'd like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now, the festival that was referred to here is the Passover when Jesus was crucified, and this is shortly before the Passover, where Jews have come from all over the known world. Converts to Judaism would come from many countries to celebrate. Philip seems to have had connections with the Greek community. He later preached preached the gospel in Greece. And the Greeks came to him with a simple request: we would like to see Jesus. Now, what Jesus says next prophesies his crucifixion. Here it is. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it. Anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now, by referring to a seed falling into the ground and giving itself up to grow, and the many seeds that result, Jesus is not only prophesying his upcoming crucifixion, he's also talking about the truth that people will come to him from all over the world. And he's talking about something that has to happen in us as we turn to him. He must increasingly become the central focus of our hearts and lives so that we are living for him more and more, so that his way becomes increasingly important in our lives over our own. Now, there are two concepts in this passage that are especially helpful when we think about enjoying Jesus' presence as we live in the here and now, and here they are. We would like to see Jesus, and where I am, my servant will also be. Now, I believe that we can see Jesus as we live today. But we see him not with our physical eyes, although that can happen. Sometimes it can happen in a dream or in a vision, or, you know, I mean, anything is possible with God. But Scripture also speaks of the eyes of our heart. And we'll look at one of those verses later in the sermon. But it's important to understand that you and I can take Jesus in a way that is like seeing him, like seeing someone in front of us. It matters that we understand that. Being with Jesus is the best thing that can ever happen to us. The second concept here: where I am, my servant will also be. I think is a reference not only to heaven, it's a reference to the here and now. It's a reference to walking with him in obedience, following him. So we'll want to be close to him. And what happens is when there's this closeness to Jesus in our lives, there's life that flows into us. There's peace, there's this forgiveness, there's this sense of a whole new identity. This forgiveness that we have from God, that enables us to live as his children, that enables us to forgive others. There's a sweetness about this. Often when you hear Jesus' presence written about, you see that word sweet used, right? We sang it this morning. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus. And one of the concepts in that hymn was just from sin and self to cease. As the sweetness of his presence permeates our lives, we end up holding on to life with a lighter hand. We become less insistent on our own way, easier to live with and to be with. And all of this happens as our hearts and minds move increasingly toward him. But this isn't something that can happen automatically. You know, it does happen as the Holy Spirit works within us. Some have said of the 5 points of Calvinism, the last one, the perseverance of the saints, is also the preservation of the saints, you know, that God keeps us to the very end. But for the presence of Jesus to be realized more and more in our lives, please listen carefully. We can and should ask God for it. And ask Him again and again. When Scripture speaks of being filled with the Spirit, it uses a verb tense that means to keep asking. Or excuse me, keep on being filled with the Spirit. So we need to keep asking for God to fill us with His Spirit. And often when we ask God for something He wants us to have, He also wants us to do something about it. He doesn't just zap us. It's not just this passive thing, if you will. Dave Roper had a great insight about this. Dave Roper is a veteran writer for our Daily Bread who is suffering from cancer right now. Great guy. He's been writing for decades for our Daily Bread. But this is what he wrote. About this verse specifically, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for drones for you. Oh my goodness, how did that happen? I don't know how that happened unless I'm droning on. And it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. I think that was word correction. And autocorrect must have done that. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Let's move on to Dave Roper's quote, shall we? These verses are not a promise that God will answer every prayer we utter, but rather a promise that He will respond to every longing for personal righteousness, what Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit. If we hunger and thirst for holiness and ask God for it, He will begin to satisfy us. It will take time, for spiritual growth, like human growth, is gradual. Don't give up. Keep asking God. In His time and at His pace, it will be done for you. God doesn't make promises He doesn't keep. So, of course, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all of these flow from Jesus. The more we are with Him, the more these will show up in our lives. Recently, I've been trying to spend more time with Jesus in the moment. And I can tell you honestly that this has happened in certain seasons of my life. And whenever it happens, these are the sweetest seasons of life for me. But as my friend and fellow pastor Dick Little told me, James, sometimes you sound holier than you really are. So full disclosure, there have also been some difficult moments along this path. There's an old saying that works here. If you feel distant from God, guess who moved? One of the things that I've become increasingly aware of is how easy it is for us to move away from God in our hearts. It can happen so subtly that we hardly even notice it, that we don't notice it at all, because we're just doing life. And we've gotten accustomed to just sort of doing certain things in certain ways. And this is where it is so important for you and me to invite Jesus' presence into every moment. Because as he comes into those moments, he's always with us. He's promised to be with us always. But as we are increasingly aware of his presence, it's like having more of him. Drawing near to Jesus takes focus, and all we have to do is lose our focus, and as soon as that happens, we end up in a state of spiritual drift. I almost wanted to call this sermon Drift for that reason, because it's like stepping out into the ocean, going out a little ways, and then you know how that is. You turn and you look and you're at a different place from where you came in. Oh, Jesus is over there. I need to go back over in that direction again. As you and I make that effort to spend time in his presence, we become increasingly aware of how easy it is for us to drift away from him. Because the more we're with him, there's this irreplaceable peace and sense of his beauty. You don't want to be anywhere else. But because we have this treasure in jars of clay, Scripture says, you know, we're continually kept in that place of, Lord, help me. Lord, I want to be with you, but if you don't help me with this. So Jesus is pointing us to this when he says, where I am, my servant will also be. Just again, being with him, but it will cost us. Instead of making our lives about us, they must become about him. And I don't mean that in some preacherly way. You know, often you hear people talk like that, and oh, you know, it sounds fine for church, but these are often some of the people who give Christianity a bad name. Because they're not doing the very thing that they ascribe to. Because in the same moment they say something like that, they turn around and then something absolutely spiteful comes out of their mouth. Why? Because they're not really practicing the presence of Jesus. Because if they were mindful of him, they'd not make that leap. So this is about submitting ourselves to him more and more in our thoughts in the moment, giving ourselves to him as his servants, loving him very intentionally as we go through the day. I wish I had thought about this. Have you ever seen in social media the meme that has the picture of the dog where it says, you know, my name is Ralph, but sometimes I think my name is Stop That? I mean, sometimes practicing the presence of Jesus can be as simple as that. Stop that. You know? Lord, help me to stop that thought. Go to you. But loving him very intentionally as we go through the day. That's why he said, anyone who loves their life will lose it. It's not all about me. Well, anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. A few sermons ago, I mentioned the missionary Frank Laubach and what he called the game with minutes, where he tried to call God to mind at least once every minute, at least 1 second every minute as he went through the day. And the more he did that, it was like, I've got to keep doing this. And here's something that he wrote about being with Jesus. He said, the most wonderful discovery that has ever come to me is that I do not have to wait until some future time for the glorious hour. I need not sing, oh, that will be glory for me, and wait for any grave, actually. I don't know what happened with my typing, is what Laubach wrote, and wait for any grave. This hour can be heaven. Any hour for anybody can be as rich as God. And then he went on, where he's writing about that, to talk about people doing manual labor and how a person working at a lathe can experience the presence of God. Is Laubach overselling this? No. No, he's not. This is where we come back to G.K. Chesterton again. The Christian faith has been found difficult and left untried. Being with Jesus is simply that good. We want this. God wants to give us himself, but that can't happen unless we give ourselves to him. And giving ourselves to him, seeing Jesus, isn't just about effort, but it does involve it. This is what Paul is referring to when he prays, I pray for the Ephesians, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. You know, literally, that God's light may fall. The eyes of your heart, that's how we see Jesus. That's that reference I was referring to earlier in the sermon. In order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. So eyes of our hearts being enlightened, that's something God does. But James, the brother of Jesus, puts it this way, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So there's a balance. There's a balance. Would you like to see Jesus? Would you like to know the sweetness of his presence more? He has promised us this. He said, I am with you always. I'm with you. His very name is Emmanuel, God with us. This isn't some theological assertion that's remote and theoretical. It's personal. It's practical. It's meant for this moment. There's simply nothing better than being with Jesus. But this is also something that each of us must discover for ourselves. This is something that each of us must learn step by step with him. But as we draw near to him, he meets us. And it's this spiritual truth. It's this sense of his presence that goes to the depths of our very souls. And we get to a place where words are inadequate. Augustine put it this way, we must fly to our beloved homeland. There the Father is, and there is everything. And the first step is to ask him to help us. Laubach was right. Heaven starts here. Even here, our hearts can press into him. He can meet us. He does. And he will. Oh, to go there. To go there more and more. I don't want to sound like someone who's arrived at this because I haven't. But oh, what little bit of his presence I've encountered changes everything. You and I need this. And we get so busy, don't we? But oh, to know He's with me. Right here. Right now. Where I am, there my servant will also be. Oh, may our prayer be, I want to see Jesus. May we pray. Lord, thank You that it really is all about relationship with You. That's why You came. And Lord, this is tough for us. We are so distracted. We are so busy. And Lord, we're sorry that our busyness becomes the statement that these other things matter more. We don't want that. Oh, Lord, help us. We can't do this unless You help us. Holy Spirit, fill us afresh. Lord Jesus, help us to be more mindful that You are near. Show us, each of us individually, personally, where there are sins in our lives that we're hanging on to that are blocking our sense of Your presence, oh Lord, help us to turn from them. Thank You for going to the cross so that we can have immediate access to the holy place, the very presence of God the Father. This morning, as we come to You, we ask Your forgiveness for our sins. Maybe you've never asked Him for that before, but oh, look to Him and He will give it to you. And He will give you Himself and His Spirit. Lord, help us as we walk this week to take closer steps to You. Show us what those steps are, each of us personally. But thank You, Lord, that we will meet You. Thank You that You show up. And You've done this again and again. Thank You that You will with us. We look forward to seeing You, Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen. Before we go into this last hymn, this last hymn is really about seeing Jesus with the eyes of your heart. The lady who wrote it was blinded by malpractice at the age of 4. She went on to become probably the most prolific hymn writer in all of history. Look at the visual references to God in this hymn as we sing it.